And you know what? We've been praying for you that today would be an opportunity for God to just to fill your soul. And we've been talking about that this year, really the opportunity for us to live a filled and fruitful life and year and what God has for us. And we're going to kick off a new series today. Oh, before I jump into that, let me two quick things. First of all, my wife Julie sends her her greetings and her love. Thank you again for all of the kindness, the generosity, the meals, all of those things. She's doing well. She was trying to come today, but she's like, "Will you be upset if I don't come?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, but I, you know, I'll get over it." No, I'm just kidding. But with her, the knee replacement surgery, she's like, "I just don't know if I can sit in the chair for an hour, and I don't know how that's going to get in and out or whatever." But she should be back next week. But she just wanted to say thank you again. Just appreciate all of you and your kindness on that. One of the things we didn't mention, Pastor Mary Lou talked about our epic egg hunt. We have 14,000 eggs that we're trying to fill. And so we just need 1,500 more. Come on now. 15, that's it. Out of 14,000, we have 1,500 left. I just want you to ponder that for a moment so that on your way out, if you didn't sign up last week or you're willing to fill quantities in 100 of eggs with wrapped candy in eggs, if you'd fill that out, sign up, just pledge to do that, bring that in the next couple weeks. That would be awesome so that we can have that all together. And I'd also mention this. We're trying to plan our next baptism too. If you have not been baptized, or maybe you, as a child you were and you've made a fresh commitment or dedication to God, or maybe you know somebody that wants to take that next step, faith, you can fill that out on our connection card, either online or in the back or at our guest center as well. So just let you know about that and let us know if that is in your heart. All right, are you happy this morning? Yes. Come on now. If you, whatever way you read your Bible, I want you to grab that. Today, I'm going to read more scripture than normal, but I'm going to read it out of one chapter, all right? So I've got a lot of verses because it really all ties together. And today's going to be a message that Jesus is going to teach us. In fact, we're kicking off this new series called Jesus Is. Help me out. Everyone just say Jesus Is. Jesus in the book of John. And John, that's the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, probably his closest friend, writes just an incredible, in fact, he writes what he says, the signs. We talked about the miracles of Jesus, about the signs. What's a sign do? A sign points you into the right direction. If you're going down the row there and it says 680 that way, well, that sign is not the 680. Come on now. It is a sign pointing you in the right direction. And John writes this, and you can read that in John chapter 20, the very end, verses 30 and 31. He talks about that these signs, that he did way more than what I'm writing, but we do this so that you'll believe, or I wrote this so that you might believe in who Jesus is, the Son of God, the one that came, that was God in flesh. And so anyways, but in the book of John, he records the seven phrases that Jesus will use. There's actually a couple more, but seven primary phrases that we call the I ams. That he'll talk about, I am the shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the light of the world, I am the vine, and you are the branch. These different ones, but every one of these that Jesus uses to describe himself or identify himself really are opportunities for us to understand a little bit more about his character, about who he is, how he relates to us, how we can have a relationship with him, but they also all reveal, come on now, some of or part of the spiritual needs that we have and how that he meets every one of those needs. And so as he opens up the window, I guess you'd say, or the curtain so that we can see, he's saying these things, and they're very much a parallel to Exodus, where when Moses asks God, he says, when he's going to be sent to set the children of Israel free, he's like, "Well, who do I tell them who sent me?" And very simply, the answer is the I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. And so Jesus is now associating himself, paralleling, drawing the connection that he is also God, that he represents his heavenly Father here on earth. And he'll say that. And so we're going to read out of the sixth chapter of the book of John. And before we do that, let's just pray first. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name, the matchless, mighty, wonderful name of Jesus in this place. God, I pray that we would just be able to lift up your name to draw people to you. Give us ears to hear, minds to perceive, and hearts to receive, God, what you want to speak to us today through your word and by your spirit in this place, that your spirit would just breathe life, that we'll capture just a little bit more of the essence of Jesus and who he is in our life and who he wants to be. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we want to talk over the next few moments about this statement that Jesus makes where he says that I am the bread of life, that I am the bread of life. And he's going to say this phrase multiple times in this passage. He's gonna use that terminology, and understanding that bread is much more than just a filler, but really bread is going to represent, a primary staple of life, the nurture or the nutrition that we need. And throughout history, bread has always been one of the food staples that they, you know, we make it, we bake it, they, you know, we break it and we eat it, you know, and it's all kinds of things. So I don't know if you ever go to a sandwich shop. If you over here to Mr. Pickle, they have like all these different kinds of bread. So there's like the question is like, hey, not only do I have to pick the kind of meat I want, I have to pick the kind of what? Bread that I want. So they're going to say, do you want sourdough, or do you want whole wheat, or do you want Dutch crunch or crutch or whatever, something, whatever. And like, and then so I'm like, or do you want sweet bread? I'm like, all right, can I just sample them all? No, I don't do that. But the idea that there's this variety of types of bread, and Jesus is going to teach us a spiritual principle when it comes to him describing himself as the bread of life. But understand that bread is not, like for us, a lot of times it's just on the side. You have your spaghetti with a garlic roll. Come on now. You have, you know, your main dish, and then it's just a filler. But the perspective really is more than just a filler, but it's the things that bring nutrition and sustenance and the idea of things that go far beyond just an add-on, but it's the staple. And this analogy that he'll help us understand will help us understand who he is, but the life that he gives and the opportunity that we have to respond. All right, so understand, don't be narrow focused that it's just bread. It's really about the nutrition, the life, the thing that helps sustain what we do. And so I'm not going to take time to read this because John chapter 6 is one of the longer ones. There's 71 verses in the book, or in the chapter 6, but I would encourage you to read it because it actually all ties in. It's a two-day span, and on the first day, there's a miracle, or as John would call them, a sign that's pointing to who Jesus is, and it's one of the most famous miracles. In fact, it's other than the resurrection, the only one that you'll find in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. And this is the story where Jesus goes out onto the hillsides and thousands of people, 5,000 men plus women plus children, are on the side of this hill as he begins to pour out to them. And what we do know is it's around Passover time, which means that there would be even more people in that vicinity, that it would be swelling because it's the time of the year that they would gather together. And so in the first part of that chapter 6 of the book of John, it's the story, the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, knowing what he's going to do, asks his disciples, hey, how are we going to feed all these people? And they're like, dude, I don't know. but I'm hungry. And so he's like, okay, well, what do we have? And they look around and they're like, nobody came prepared to eat. Like, no one packed a lunch. You know, we don't all have, you know, there's not a McDonald's right on the corner here. That all we have is this one little boy's lunch whose mother thought ahead, like, I know my son's going to be out there. It could be a long time, so I'm going to pack him a lunch, and I'm going to give him 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 fish. And that's all we have. And of course, the disciples then would say, they would look at that, and they'd say, but what is so little, come on now, when there's so much need? What is so little among so much? And I'm not going to preach the message of the feeding of the 5,000, but that one principle really is this opportunity for us to realize that it's the little things that we can give God, that we surrender to God, that as we follow God, that God takes, and as we've been talking about over the last couple months, and he multiplies that he blesses that he uses the little that seems insignificant, seems like it doesn't matter, doesn't amount to much, but he takes it and multiplies it. But it's important because it's five loaves and 2 fish. So loaves of what? Bread. All right. I just want you to understand that the parallel is Jesus takes 5 loaves, these small loaves of bread, and the 2 fish, and he multiplies it, and everyone gets their fill. In fact, if you know the story, at the end, they take one, and they end up with 12 basketful left over. And so that's what happens leading up to this next part. And now Jesus is going to teach us about being the bread of life right after he does this incredible miracle of multiplying bread for everyone to eat. And so here's what happens that evening, verse 16. That evening, the disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. So Jesus had performed this miracle. The disciples go down. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got in the boat and they headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Verse 18, soon a gale swept down, this storm sweeps down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the waters toward the boat. Now, other gospels actually will give you more details on this. John's kind of trying to get right into the point of who Jesus is. But so Jesus comes just wandering on the water towards the boat, and they're very terrified. But he called out to them, hey, don't be afraid. I am here. I am here. Then they were eager to let him in the boat. Come on. I mean, you know, that's just a good idea. You got a storm, yeah, everything's chaos around you, and you see Jesus. It's like, yeah. Come on in. You know, you're welcome. Please join us. And so they're eager to let him in and into the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. So Jesus jumps on their boat, and they're transported to the shore. I would have loved to have been there. That would have just been so cool. Like, you know, you see on TV or movies or where that happens. Like, it's like they're here. And what just happened? But Jesus gets onto their boat. Now, the next day is coming. So here's where things get crazy. Now, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, something you should never do, all right? But the end of this passage, what Jesus is about to teach them is going to just confound them. And there's going to be so many people that are like, I'm not down with that. I can't do that. And because of this message that Jesus, the first I am that he announces, it says that literally thousands of people walk away from Jesus because of this exact passage that we're going to read. And so it goes on this way, and I'm going to read about half of it, and then we'll walk through a couple points, and then we'll read the second half of it. But it says this, verse 22, the next day the crowd had stayed on the far shore and saw that the disciples had taken the only boat and realized that Jesus had not gone with them. So the people are beginning to follow Jesus. His ministry is starting to take off. Wherever he goes, crowds are following him. And so they realize the boat went across over there. Jesus wasn't with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor disciples were there, they got into the boat and they went across to Capernaum to look for him. So now they're like, we're going to go find Jesus. We don't know where he went. He was here, then he left. Like, what's the deal? It's like hide and seek. Like, we just came here, we find him, and then he's gone again. They find him on the other side of the lake, and they asked him, Rabbi, which literally means teacher. So by acknowledging that, they're acknowledging that they're students or they're followers, they're listeners of Jesus. Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man, he's describing himself, that's his most common way he refers to himself over 70 times. He'll refer to himself as the Son of Man. It's out of Daniel chapter 7. But he says, the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval, that he's shown who I am. He's the notary. There's a sign that if you have any question that I am not the fulfillment of everything you've heard, everything you said, everything you're expecting, everything you want, listen, there is the seal of God on my life. Check this out. Don't miss this. So he's trying to help them understand who he is. They replied, hey, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? So their first thought is like, hey, where did you go, Jesus? We're hungry. And what should we do? Well, we want to be busy about doing stuff. And so if this is what you're saying, then how do we earn it? What's our good works? What's our plan? How do we do this so that we can be in good relationship with God? And they replied, we want to perform these. And then Jesus tells them, this is the only work God wants from you. This is all God asks. That we get caught up, that every other religion is about doing, about paying your penance or your, you know, suffering and going through whatever that is so that you can earn this. But he's like, listen, this is it. All I want you to do is to believe in the one he has sent. That our response to this loving, powerful, almighty God is that we believe in him. That we get to follow him. That we get to experience this personal relationship with him. They answered, well, show us a miraculous sign. If you want us to believe in you, what can you do? Like, okay, whoa. You were with me yesterday. Yesterday, remember that 5 loaves and 2 fish thing that we did? And then some of you know that I wasn't in the boat when we started, and then I walked across. Like what else are you looking for? They're looking for these signs, and they're pursuing things that aren't a priority to Jesus. And so they're like, what signs? Show us the miraculous signs, what to do. And after all of your ancestors ate manna, this is what they're telling Jesus, while they journeyed through the wilderness, the scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. We're going to come back to that. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread, verse 33, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, understand the word life there, the zoe life, not the bios. The zoe is the supernatural, the spiritual life, not just this natural life. That he wants us to experience that life, what he'll refer to as the eternal life. And I think a lot of times we miss the heart of that because we think of that life as the life to yet come. That when I pass from this earth, that's the life. That he gives. And he says, sir, they said, verse 34, give us that bread every stinking day. That, like, I want that all the time. And Jesus replies, and here's where he teaches them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Everyone just say never. If you come to me, you will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, and even though you've seen me, you're here, and you still don't understand. He goes on, he says, well, let me stop right there. So a couple things that Jesus wants his followers, his disciples, those that experienced him most personally. He helps them. He's trying to redirect how they see him, how they live life, and the mindset that they have. And so their first thing is they saw it. If I had gone back a little bit in chapter 6 there, it says that in verse 14, when the people saw him do the signs of the feeding of the 5,000, it says that they exclaimed, surely he's a prophet. The prophet that we've been expecting, and Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, and he slipped away. It's like, okay, before all this happened, they're ready to make him king. That they think that he's going to be like Moses, that set the people free, that led them out of captivity. He fed them bread, manna in the desert, that he did miracles, and they're thinking, he's the prophet, he's the one that's going to set us free. They had this mindset of this conquering king that was today going to set them free from the oppression of the Roman Empire, that's what they were going to see. And Jesus, like, you don't understand. Here's the shift for all of us. All right, you ready? Otherwise, I have to start all over. All right, so here's what he helps them think differently by teaching them about being the bread of life, the one that sustains all life. That they had this great meal the day before, and the next morning they're fine. I'm like, hey, it's breakfast time. Do your thing again. Come on now. Like Jesus, that was good stuff. I've never had bread that good. And we found you. We tracked you down. And he's like, hey, you're here just because you want one sign, one miracle after another. But there's something more to following me that I need you to understand. It's not just about what I do for you, but really what I want to be in you and what I want to do through you. And so the first thing that Jesus helps them understand, or is trying to help them understand, is this. Focus on what truly matters. What's going to last? That we live our life so many times in the here and the now, that we're focused on our today. What Matthew talks about, what we'll wear, what we'll do, and how we'll dress, all those things that is like are fleeting. And Jesus is saying, well, listen, you had this great meal that was awesome, but I want you to know there's so much more to life than just this temporal. And so the first thing he wants them to understand is like, hey, I need you to focus on what truly matters and what truly lasts. That our love for people, forgiveness, salvation, souls. Don't be concerned about what perishes, he says, but spend your time on not the temporal, but the eternal. And all of us are guilty of this, that we're more concerned about our physical care, feeding our bodies, than feeding our soul. Tomorrow, I'm assuming most of you, the alarm clock will sound and you'll get up, and some of you will take showers. I don't know, whatever your pattern is. That's between you and your spouse or your family or whatever. But what will you do? You'll get up in the morning, and what are you going to do? You're going to prepare yourself for what? For the day. You're going to prepare yourself for work. You're going to wear whatever clothes that you need to wear. You're going to hopefully brush your teeth, comb whatever hair that you have, whatever that might look like. But you literally prepare yourself for the day on the outside. And Jesus is saying, listen, you're focused so much about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do. But I need you to understand there's something way more to life, this Zoe life, this fulfillment of life, that you can have all this. Don't focus on just the here and now. And again, I'm not saying don't brush your teeth. But what he's saying is that you're focused on things that don't matter, that you worry about feeding your body but not feeding your soul. And Jesus wants them to understand that what he wants to bring them is something that will fill and feed their souls
every day, the thing that they need more than they know, and they pursue it in different, they pursue different things to try to meet that need. And so instead of caring about that, we want to care about this opportunity to experience who Jesus is, and that he is the Son of God, that God's seal is on him, and that everything that you've hoped for, waiting for, you find in Jesus. And so as he goes through this, he's helping them understand, like, hey, you're worried about this, but I'm worried about this. You're focused on things that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. You're focused on things that you think matter, but what really matters is that you connect with me. What really matters is that I can feed your soul, that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what happens in your life, that with me in you is going to take care of the things that will take you and sustain you even further. Our response isn't to just worry about the outside or the temporal or the temporary. But God, if Jesus is the bread of life, and he is, then how do I feed my soul to be filled with his life, his way, his plan? Spending time with him, connecting with him, worshiping him. Our responsibility, the opportunity, and what happens. Here's what happens when I feed my soul, when I connect to Jesus, when I spend time in his word, or I have opportunities to have spiritual conversations with other, that I care about other people. Here's the promise. Here's one of the things that he says in verse 35. He teaches, so don't focus on just the temporal, but the spiritual, the Zoe life, the life that really matters, the life that's going to carry you through this life. And then he says, but here's what's going to happen. If you'll do this, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what's that mean? If we will focus on the right thing, the second thing that we will see is that our lives will be fruitful, fulfilled, and satisfied. Now, please don't realize I didn't say your life will be easy, your life will be perfect, and your life will be problem-free. Trouble-free. No. But what he's saying is the things that you think will fill you never do. The things that you've counted on always leave you a little bit empty, always leave you a little bit wanting something more or something different. Or I need another fix. I need to do this. He's saying you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. That if we'll allow him to be the bread of life, then we will find fulfillment, that we'll be satisfied, that our deepest needs, and here's how we live our life. We live our life trying to fill our deepest needs in different ways. And so what we don't realize is that you're hungry. What you don't realize is that today you're hungry. I'm hungry. I'm physically hungry. Come on, somebody. But what he's saying is that your life, there's something inside you. In fact, Ecclesiastes talks about this longing for something more, that he's placed eternity in our heart, that there's this hunger. And so when we find our lives restless, unsettled, no peace, or maybe we find ourselves with anger or bitterness or despair or apathy, things that you're like, there's something that's missing and we're trying to find it, whether it's in a relationship or a job or something we buy, something we have. It's like, he's like, no, listen, you won't find fulfillment and satisfaction in any of those things. That you're this spiritual being, that I'm this spiritual being. He's saying, and I want to refresh your soul. So when you feel those things, it means that you're hungry. You look at it and think like, well, this person disappointed me, or that this happened to me, and I didn't get this, or this is like, no. What that's showing is that you're hungry because you're trying to find something else to fill you. And he said, I am what you need. I am what you want, that I want to refresh your soul so that you don't thirst for things to fill voids of emptiness, fill voids of sorrow, fill voids of anger, because you're filled with him. So it goes on, and one of the things, the third thing, is we have to realize, know who your source is. In fact, if you read this, if you notice, or when I read it, if you notice that he talks about, the people are like, okay, that's good. We have this bread.
this bread that was given to our ancestors, it was this opportunity that there was manna in the desert. And that was really good that Moses gave them bread. And so we get it. If you're the bread, we want that same thing, that Moses gave them bread. And Jesus' next phrase is this. He's like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Moses didn't give them bread. Our Heavenly Father, God gave them bread. The third thing that Jesus is teaching them is that we have to know who our source is. They got manna in the desert. Moses was their leader, but who provided it was God. And there's so many things that we look around us and what we have or what we want or what's with us, and we think, I earned that, or I got this, or I achieved that. And Jesus is saying, listen, we have to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that in your life that you know is good, is lovely, the Bible says that comes from God. And so we have to learn how to be grateful or thankful, that understanding who our source is. Now, it's going to be really hard to read all the rest of this. The worship team can come up. But it says this from 37 on. He's going to say the same thing over and over and over, like this repetition for them. He says, however, those that the Father has given me come to me, and I will never reject them, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one. That here's the deal, that I came down and I will never reject you. The next thing is that Jesus communicates not only that we want to focus on what's lasting and what's meaningful, and not only do we want to go understanding that what fulfills us and satisfies us is Him, the opportunity that He's our source, but He communicates this idea that I'll never reject you, I'll never let go of you, that you may experience that in life. You may experience people turning on you or against you, be saying, I'll never reject them and I'll never lose them, that this is who I am. And when you understand that I'm the bread of life, when you connect with me, when you have this relationship with me, I will fill your soul, fulfill your life in a way that brings joy, that brings peace in the midst of every circumstance. And He says, I'll never reject you. I'll never leave you. I'll never let you go. And they start murmuring and complaining after this. As the people begin to murmur in verse 41, and they have this disagreement because He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they're like, this is Jesus. Isn't it Jesus? Verse 42, the son of Joseph. We know His father and His mother. How can He say, I came down from heaven? And they begin to question. And this murmuring, just like with people and families or homes or churches or workplaces, that this murmur becomes this spreading of discontent and discord. They're like, but we know Him. How can you really be that? How can you really do that? And they begin to question if Jesus can really be the one that meets their needs. And I think for a lot of us, we really wonder, can I really prepare my life to serve the one that wants to meet every need? And I've been going to church for a year now, and this hasn't changed. Or I've been following Jesus all my life, and this happened. And He's saying this idea of understand. They're like, but you're Jesus. Can you really do that? And Jesus replies to them, verse 43, stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. At the last day, I will raise them up. Verse 45, as it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. That we listen. We come to Him. We worry about the inside and not just the outside. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I who has sent from God have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the, he says it again, the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. It didn't last. It was temporal. They only had something that lasted a short time, and that's what you're focused on. He's saying there's something more. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I'm the living bread that came down. He's wanting them to understand that we have to not just know about him, but have this personal connection, that we come to him. Verse 62, then the people began arguing. They go from grumbling now to arguing with each other about what he meant and how he can give us his flesh to eat. And they ask, so Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, and here's where they start to freak out. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you can not have eternal life with you. Whoa, what? They're like, that just sounds too crazy. Now, understand the symbolism. This isn't about communion. This is talking about manna. It's a different parallel, but there's this shadow. But when we take communion, there's this understanding that it says that this bread is my body. And this cup is the blood that represents the blood that was shed for us. That what Jesus is really saying, he's not literally saying, come on now, eat and drink flesh and blood. What he's saying, though, is you have to accept who I am and what I've done. The life I lived and the life I have for you, that what it means is that I believe in who he is. That's what it said. That's the work, is believe in him, that who he is and what he's done. And so, church, today, looking through this, the idea, the understanding he'll never reject us, he'll never leave us, but from that, and I'll just skip ahead a little bit, verse 60, because he keeps saying the similar thing, trying to drive home his point. He said these things while he's teaching in the synagogue, and in verse 60 he says, many of his disciples said, this is a very hard thing to understand. How can anyone accept it? So now they're saying, does God's word work? And there's a lot of us, I think, that do that too. We read some of this thing in the scripture, we think, well, that was for then, not for now. Well, that culturally, that doesn't apply to us. And I understand there are some things that filter through the cross, but it's God's word that never changes. It's my heart that has to change. Come on now, John. And they said, this is hard. He said, Jesus was aware that the disciples were complaining, and so he said to them, does this offend you? Verse 62, then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven? And verse 63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. So our attempts to try to be good, do good, try to fix it, it doesn't really matter. And the very words I have spoken to you are their spirit and life, that he wants you to be alive on the inside, no matter what happens on the outside. But some of you don't believe me, and for Jesus knew the beginning, which ones would believe and which ones wouldn't. Then he said that is why I said that the people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. Verse 66, and I'm going to close with this. In fact, everyone just stand. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. They just couldn't accept the fact that Jesus was who he said he was. They had tried it. It didn't turn out the way they wanted. They looked at it, but it was different than they thought. It was harder than they thought to serve God. It was not as comfortable, and God didn't always meet them right where they wanted. And it's like all of a sudden, all of them, thousands of them, despaired. They had been following him, and all of a sudden they turned from him. And at this point, the disciples turned away, and they deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? And let me just close with this perspective. When you get up tomorrow and you get ready on the outside, will you allow the bread of life to get you ready on the inside? That maybe it's taking a moment to read his word, or to say a prayer, or to just invite him to be part of your day. That the disciples at that point, so all these people walk away, and if you read a little further, he'll talk about now they all left, and And one of you that stayed is a devil, talking about Judas. So they left because they couldn't handle it. He's going to stay even though his heart's not with me. And he looks at the other 12. He says, like, what about you? What will you do with this perspective that I'm the bread of life? And Peter will be the one to stand up and respond. He's like, he'll say these words in verse 68. Simon Peter replies, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. So here's the response. Here's the understanding. Here's the perspective that where else would you go? What else would you pursue? What else do you think can satisfy your life and your soul? It's only Jesus, the bread of life. He alone has the words of life. In fact, that's what another translation, you alone have that I've tried. I've tried this, I've tried that. It's left me empty, hollow, wanting more. All of a sudden I realize you are, come on, the one. So God, I pray that today, Lord, as we close this moment of your word and continue, Lord, in our adoration, our love, our worship for you, God, that today, more than just a side note, more than just an add-on, that God, that we will make Jesus the foundation, the center, the source. Literally, that's what the bread of life, the source of life. That God, you'll fill us to overflowing. That Lord, that the hunger that we have, that we won't search it out in other people or other things or other situations, but God, that we'll find it in you and in you alone. So Lord, right now as we come to a close, we thank you that, church, listen to this, you are all that we need. You want to fulfill and satisfy today by your presence, by your spirit, and by your word. Let's worship together as we close.